Philippians chapter 2, let's start in verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God hath also highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and in things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as much in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do his good pleasure. Heavenly Father, we're so grateful that you made this day for us and that you have given us your word, Lord. And even though our hearts sometimes are drawn to things of this earth, Lord, you gave us those things for our good pleasure and for yours. And we pray this morning that we would set aside all of the things that get in our way, Lord, of seeing your face. And that this morning we would sense your presence, that we would feel you sitting next to us, Lord. That we would feel the touch of your hand on our flesh, Lord. That we would feel the breath of life, Lord, on our necks. And Lord, mostly we ask that as you indwell us, Lord, with your spirit, that our lives would be reflective of your Son. Take away everything that stands in the way of your word for us this morning, Lord, and may we see only you, Lord, not the speaker, Lord, not the surroundings, Lord, but may we see you and you alone. And we ask, Father, that as those that are here today that don't know you, Lord, that they would come to know you this morning. And we ask this in your blessed name. And all God's people said, amen. All right, sit, please. I didn't do the announcement, so I'll do them now. If you're with us here for the first time this morning, my name is John Hessler. If you're a long-time comer, it's just me. If you're here for the first time, there's a visitor card in the pew or in the seat in front of you. If you would fill that out, you can hand it to one of the ushers on the way out today. You can give it to me or somebody that's standing in the foyer. We really just want to get a record of your visit. There's no reason we would take this information and sell it to an internet company. We don't do that. Daylight savings time, center your bulletin at the top. Daylight savings time is next week, so make sure that you move your clocks. Which direction? Fall back next Saturday night so that you're on time or early for the services next Sunday. About halfway down there, it says, please note, women's Friday morning study is canceled for this week, Friday, October 31st, and will resume next Friday, November 7th. Men's breakfast and worship next Saturday from November 1st at 1 a.m. It's not 1 to 8 a.m. In the cafe, Buddy Osborne is going to be leading that. And then the children's clothing outreach, Monday, November 3rd from 8 to 1 in the fellowship hall, is to minister to women in the area by supplying them clothing needs. They need Spanish-speaking volunteers, and they also need folks for child care. In addition to that, you'll find little slips of paper out there that have different items that you can donate that they're looking for. Any questions on the announcements? Good. I was going to answer them anyway. How about John taking a shot at me? And he said there was 8 of them. I counted like 12. I missed the whole announcement because I was counting people. Of course, Vantreska can't stand still. He's in the back doing this. You're like, I think I counted him 4 times myself. You know, I kind of got stuck on this. Work out your own salvation in fear and trembling. You ever come across something in the Bible and you end up sticking on it and you read that and you're like, what are you talking about? Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Work out your own salvation in fear and trembling. You know, like, what do you mean work out my salvation in fear and trembling? I don't know what that means. I am saved. I embrace my salvation. I love my salvation. What does it mean to work out my salvation in fear and trembling? You know, so I got like all these support books at home. You know, I have a dictionary. I got expository volume. I have just stuff you gather. And I'm looking all over the place. And finally, you know, the Holy Spirit just spoke to me and said, dude, I got that from my teenager. Dude, read the Word of God. It will tell you. So skip with me, if you will, back to verse 3. Make it five. Let this mind be in you. Now, there are places that God will tell us things to put in our hearts. In fact, most oftentimes as we read the Word, it's really about the heart, isn't it? We tend to think of and dwell on things of my heart. That is the wellspring of life, after all, and from it flows, out of the abundance of it will flow. But it says, let this mind be also in you, which was in Jesus, in Christ Jesus. In other words, the word for mind here is like a like-mindedness. Like you and your mind, like a mind your sister. You know, look after her. This like-mindedness means think the same way that Jesus did. And Paul is saying now to the church at Philippi or to the Philippians, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And then he begins to explain what was in his mind. And Paul, very nicely here for us, divides Christ into two areas now. We're going to look at his divine nature and his human nature, them being one and the same. You know, I thought to myself, as Christ was in his divine nature, and he's communed with the Father, because he says in the Bible, I and my Father are what? Right. So now, even in the garden, he would look at himself, if that were possible, and he will say, let us make man in what? Our own image. So he's having this conversation with essentially himself. I and the Father are one. So here's Jesus being equal with God, and it says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery. Now, by the way, thinking of yourself in as high esteem as God is really the ultimate in heresy, is it not? Is that not what Lucifer exalted himself to be in such a way that he would become the fallen angel, and we now refer to him as the enemy? See, one of the words I provided for you earlier was pride. There are three basic sinful areas. You can list thousands of them, bless you. But essentially, it's the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and pride of life. See, Lucifer would exalt him to a place where he would consider himself to be equal with God. Jesus, and allowing this mind to be in us, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. In other words, he knew that I and the Father were one. And he is now about to explain the difference between the divine and the human nature. He was a divine individual, equal with God, one in the same, and is now going to abase himself to human position. I and the Father are one. And he thought it not robbery being equal with God, but he made himself of no reputation. So he's now about to take on human form. I have some significant questions to ask the Father when I get there. Like, when Jesus was conceived and was in the womb, assuming that he is as human as you and I, because he was, what happened for those 9 months of gestation? Did you talk to him? Did you commune with him? Did you love on him? Did you have conversations? Did you look in his eyes? Did you form him in the same fashion that you formed me? Because David will say, I knew you before the foundation was laid. When you were in your mother's womb, I formed you. What was that formation like? When he communed with his Father as Jesus was in the womb. And what happened when he was born? Because it says here, he made himself of no reputation. When we went to see Gail Irwin down at the beach for the men's conference, he said, look, if it were me, I would have had this huge party. Man, there would have been a coming out party. It would have been like, Jesus is coming to the earth. I would have had a Hollywood presentation. I would have bought time during the Super Bowl and had a commercial about it. You know, I would have had, it would have been in big shining lights, and in the area around Bethlehem, there would have been a huge parade. Like, you know, when they had the Olympics in Beijing, I mean, they shut the city down for a year before. They made like this huge venue. They spent billions of dollars making this up. Jesus was born in a manger in a stable. I have chickens. They smell. They make a mess. I go in and feed them. I actually wash my hands. I don't do that for many things. So next time you come to my house, make sure you bring your own sanitizing wipes. But Jesus came, and he came in the form of a human and was born in a manger. He made himself of absolutely no reputation. So now we are going to see his human nature. Being divine and equal with God, he is now about to abase himself because of his obedience to God and is going to come in the form of man. And he says he made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of what? Look at your Bible and read it. A servant, and was made in the likeness of men. So not only did he come, and he will say to his disciples, the Son of God came not to be served, but to what? To serve. Think about that. Equal with God. We don't think about God enough. Isaiah would see God and say to himself, woe is me, for I am undone. What does John say? I was in the presence of the Lord, and he fell at his feet as though he were dead. And now here's Jesus, being found in the form of a man, humbled himself to be a servant. He went from divinity to humanity. And what was it like when he was here, knowing that he came from that divine nature? The thing that separates Jesus from you and me is we sinned. And he remained holy. And yet he came and he took upon himself the form of a man, a servant man. Think about this for a minute. It takes me about a half hour to sin when I get up in the morning. And the only reason I don't do it for the first 29 minutes is because I'm too tired to sin. My human nature is fleshly. I don't like it. I am looking for a day when I get a new nature. When I am transformed into the person that God has set me out to be someday, I'm going to be pumped for that. Right now, I'm fighting it tooth and nail in this flesh, and it ain't working. I got my four-year-old now, whose heart is essentially his, and if it involves like a toy gun, he's sold. You can convince him of almost anything if you hand him a toy gun, right? He's talking about his hair starting to grow long. We used to keep our hair really short, but now I don't. He looks at me and he goes, hey, Dad, the side of your head's getting white. I'm like, thanks for noticing, pal. And the reason that I keep it short, so it doesn't look white. But I am fighting this flesh the whole way, man. This flesh was, it came to die. You have that in common with Jesus. Your flesh came to die, and from the moment you were born, you started dying. And in the same manner, that's what your heart is doing. In fact, the older I get, the more dying I feel. But at some point when there was a conversion experience where I invited Jesus Christ to come and live in my heart was never so alive. And he came and in the form of a servant to serve men and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient. Now look, if you want a prescription here to be more like Jesus, because that's what we sing, that's what we profess as Christians, that's what we believe, we're constantly being conformed and transformed in the image of his likeness, right? If you want a prescription for that, here you go. Make yourself of no reputation, take on the form of a servant, being found in fashion as you are, humble yourself and become obedient, unto death, even the death of the cross. I got about number one, and I can't do that. In my own mind, I have a tremendous reputation. In my own mind, I'm great. In my own mind, I think I'm wonderful. In reality, and you can ask my wife for that, in reality, who am I but a servant? Who am I that I should look upon myself that way? But he gives us this prescription if we want to be like Christ. No reputation, a servant, humble, obedient. Those are hard things for me to grasp. And yet Jesus, as a divine person, as part of the Trinity, had come and abased himself to that. See, let's just skip over and think about where we came from for a minute. Verse 12, work out your salvation in fear and trembling. I couldn't grasp that. I had no idea what it means. So he said, go back and read the passage. Work out your salvation in fear and trembling. I got news for you, gang. This is a piece of information you may want to take away from this morning. There's one thing in life that's of utmost importance, and that's your salvation. Everything else is going to burn, die, go away, fade, whatever you want to say. You have one concern about you, and that is your salvation. OK? Can I get a witness? If you leave here without salvation, you are hopeless. If you come here this morning and you are in great despair and your heart is heavy and your 401k is falling apart and your team lost last night or your wife left you or your husband left you or your child is sick or you are terminally ill or there's something terribly tragic happening in your life, there is one thing that you cannot go without, and that is your salvation. It is the one thing that will either separate you from eternal God, or you will be in communion with eternal God. There is one thing in life that's really, 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 really important, and that is your salvation. And that's why in verse 12 it says, work out your salvation. Work out your own salvation. Work out your own salvation and do it in fear and trembling. Because for us to really know what our salvation is worth, you will be fearful and trembling when you understand it. Because as he came in his divinity form and made himself human, and he made himself of no reputation, and he took on the form of a man, and he became a servant, and as he was obedient unto death, even the death of the cross, that's where we see next his humiliation. Because if you consider this for 1 minute, a 33-year-old man, never sinned, came to preach the gospel of his Father, that he would save us as sinful man. They couldn't stand him so much that it took them 3 years to murder him. He came and he preached the gospel. He loved people. He healed people. He performed miracles. He opened up the exact same Old Testament that they knew, that designed their lives and that their fathers knew, and he preached it with authority to such a point that what do? They killed him. But he knew that because he's God. So he knows that when he comes, he's going to die. So he took on himself the form of a man and the form of a servant and became obedient even unto the death of the cross. I'm not sure if I were God, that's the way I'd expect to be treated from those that I created. But he knew in advance and he did it anyway. And that, my friends, is the essence of love. And the death of the cross was so humiliating. Listen, put aside for a minute the absolute excruciation, because that's where we get the word excruciating. It's out of the cross. Excruciating. Ex-crucifixion. Crucifix. Excruciating. That's where we get the word. It was the most horrible form of death that there was. And not only was it the most painful experience the Romans could possibly drum up. Beyond that, there he is standing bare naked for everyone to see. They would divide his garments and cast lots. In other words, the soldiers stood there making fun of him. And they threw dice for his clothes. And a holy God comes to earth and that's what we did to him? For what purpose? For the purpose of the Father. And the Father's purpose was because he loved you and he wanted you to be saved. That's why it will say, work out your own salvation in fear and trembling. Because my son, my only son, and as he were baptized in that river and brought up out of the river by John the Baptist, and I looked into the heavens and saw as one descending as a dove, and a voice shouted from heaven, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. And we killed him. And it pleased God that he would do that for you and me. Why? For no other reason than your salvation. You can have anything else that you want, essentially. You can get it if you want it bad enough. But your salvation you cannot have. Of your own accord. You can't make it. You can't buy it. You can't earn it. You can't get it from somebody else like a disease. You have to embrace it. And it will say in verse 13, work out your own salvation in fear and trembling. Because as he came to die and he was obedient unto death, even the death of the cross, he would hang there bleeding, scarred from the scourges. Nails driven through the wrists of his hands, crushing the nerves that would make up your funny bone. Hey, overlapped feet with a railroad tie driven through it into a tree. so that he could push up on that nail that was driven through his feet, so that he could take a breath. And that's how our Savior died for you. And if that does not cause you to work out your salvation in fear and trembling, nothing will. And if it doesn't cause you to look deep within you and say, I need a Savior, and this Savior came to do that for you. And in a humiliating way, he gave his life in that form and in that fashion for you. There are some things in life where I wish I could reverse and just be a part of. I'd really like to have walked through the Red Sea when it was parted. That would have been cool, wouldn't it? You know? I mean, I wonder if you could see the fish. You know, I wonder how freaked out people were. That when they got onto the other side, they were like, whoa. Weirdo. I would love to have gone back to when he was 12 years old, preaching in the synagogues, and looked at the faces on the scribes and the Pharisees as he opened the word and preached it to them. I would also like to have seen his mom and dad, knowing that they had lost him for 3 days. Feel a little bit better about myself as a human. And as horrible as it would be, I wish I were there to see him hanging on the cross. Because I think in some way I would work out my salvation in more, in greater fear and in greater trembling. To see an almighty God in that sacrifice, a lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world, hanging on that cross, so that I could see and remember day after day after day what he did, so that I could work out my salvation with a greater fear and a greater trembling. Check this out, because it doesn't end there. Look at verse 9. We have his divine and his human nature. We have his humiliation. Here's what's in return, his exaltation. Wherefore God hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name. Listen to verse 19, or chapter 19 of Revelation, verses 15 and 16. And out of his mouth goeth, oh, you know what, I'm going to back up and read this to you. Just listen as I read. And he said unto me, write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, these things are true sayings of God. And I fell at his feet to worship him. And he said, see now that you do it not. I am your fellow servant and your brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon it was called faithful and true. And in righteousness he does judge and make war. His eyes were a flame and fire, and on his head were many crowns. Can I get a witness? And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name was called the Word of God. In John chapter 1 it would say, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word what? Was God. This is our incarnate Jesus right here, coming down on that horse, and I'm going to recognize him even though I've never met him before. You will know instantly who he is. And has given him a name above all names. Check this out. Verse 10. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. This is Paul saying every tongue should confess. Every tongue should confess. If you are here this morning and you have not confessed that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior, your tongue should confess that. There's one thing that you have to do while you're here, gang. One thing that you have to do while you're on earth. Die. You didn't ask to be born. You didn't ask for your parents. You didn't ask where you could be born. You were born. Here's the one thing that's your responsibility when you get here. It's the only thing assigned to you. You must die. And as much as I try to work out this flesh, it's dying. But if your tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, there's still going to be a death of this body. I'm banking on the rapture. But in the event that I do not make it there, this flesh will die. It is going to die. For every 100 people that are born, 100 of them die. One man rose again. And there's going to be a huge conglomerate of us that will rise again and meet him in the clouds. Can I get a witness on that one? And I hope that it's soon, gang. I hope that it's soon. I'm actually a little quirky. You may find that hard to believe. But, like, I'll go into school and say, oh, my Phillies won last night. But the day after they lost, I went in and went, yo, you check out my Rays? My Rays won. You know, people are, oh, what is wrong with you, you know? Like, I have no investment in that, so it's okay for my mind to play games, right? Well, here's me. The election's coming. You need to vote. Pray to the Lord for whom you should. He'll lead you in that direction. Pray for your nation. They're not mentioned, by the way, in prophecy. Okay? I don't know what that means. Cast your vote. The stock market is tumbling. I walk in and I go, it's the end of the world as we know it. It's the end of the world as we know it. And I feel fine. And my buddy says, it's like an old REM song. It was a great song, but you know what? Hey, man, it's the truth. And my buddies are like, what is wrong with you? The stock market is crashing. And I'm going, it's the end of the world. I don't care if the stock market disappears. I don't even know what NASDAQ means. Who are the S&P 500? And why should I care about them? I got a statement in the mail. I have one of these tax-sheltered annuities. And I'm like, oh, great, we're down 30%. We're down 30%. You know, and I'm looking up to heaven. Come on, Jesus, you can come now, baby. You know why? Because everything earthly and human is invested in things that are human, and they rise and fall. But your salvation, which needs to be worked out in fear and trembling, is the one thing that nobody can take away from you. It will never get any worse, and it's only going to get better. Because he's coming back, and we're going to meet him in the clouds. Work it out in fear and trembling. Because Jesus came and he died for you, man. He died for you. And nobody can take away or add to that investment. And you know what the nicest thing is? It is absolutely free. It is paid in full for you, brother. And I am leaving a charge with you today. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you're going to hell. That's your choice. He gave you a choice. The mind is a wonderful thing. But when in your mind you begin to mill over things of God and things of heaven and things of this earth, I'll be honest with you. If I came to you as a non-believer and I said, Jesus Christ is coming back. He's coming in the clouds. There's going to be this huge rush of us. We're all going to get sucked up into the air and meet him there. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. And we will meet him there in the air. You'd be like, wacko. I got news for you, gang. That is more true and more real than the wood in this podium. And somewhere along the way, as you go through that thought process, the Lord will come to you in your heart and will say, my child, it is true and you know it is true because I created you in my own image and you have chosen not to believe in me and to accept me as your personal Savior. You need to do it today. Forget watching the NASDAQ. Forget the stock market. It means nothing. It is worthless. You aren't taking squat with you. Naked came I into this world, naked shall I leave. You're taking none of it with you. Forget it. I hope the Phillies win the championship. I may even wear one of those t-shirts when they go on sale. But honest to God, gang, that fills our hearts when we need to be working out our salvation in fear and trembling. And he has exalted him. You want to hear my 401k, my 3013CB, and all the retirement garbage that they tell me I have? Here it is. You ready? And he carried me in the spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me that great city, the Holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal, and it had a great and high wall and 12 gates, and at the 12 gates 12 angels, and the names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of sun, neither of the moon, to shine in the day, for the glory of the Lord did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are what? Saved. The nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor unto it. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. And in the midst of the street of it, on either side of the river, there was a tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. And they shall see his face. I cannot wait for that day. And his name shall be on their foreheads. And there shall be no night. There no need of candle, neither light of the sun. For the Lord God giveth them light, and he shall reign forever and ever. And he said unto me, these things are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servant these things. Behold, I come quickly. Jesus would say in John chapter 14, verse 1, I'm going to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. That, my friends, is my retirement plan. In a nutshell. It can be your retirement plan. It says that every knee should bow, every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. You know, it took God 6 days to create the earth. He rested at the seventh. In 6 days, he created earth, the expanses, the stars. Think about when you were in middle school science class and they talked about constellations and galaxies and stars and black holes. In 6 days, he parted the earth from the seas. He created the fish that swim in them. He created the birds of the air and the beasts of the fields. He created man from nothing. He created man from absolutely nothing. On one of those days, he created man from nothing, and then he breathed the breath of life into his nostrils, and this world began. From man, he created woman. He took a rib out of his side and created a helpmeet suitable for Adam. And then that began to populate the earth. In 6 days, he made the trees, the grass, the fruits, the animals, everything. In 6 days, he created this with a word. He spoke it into existence. Do you know that Jesus has been in heaven preparing it for you for over 2,000 years? Imagine what it's going to look like. In 6 days, all of this. And he said in John chapter 14, I go and what? Prepare a place for you. In my Father's house, there are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. And for 2,000 years, Jesus has been at work preparing that place for you. And he said, if I go and prepare a place, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. My hope is rested on that. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. And someday he's coming, gang. If you're not prepared for that, woe unto you. Woe unto you. If you come to church week after week after week and you've heard the gospel, like Pharaoh, you're hardening your heart. This is a dangerous place to be. You'll hear, bless you, you'll hear sermon after sermon, teaching after teaching, and all the time it's just hardening your heart. Today is the acceptable day of salvation. If you don't know Jesus today, I'm giving you the opportunity. Just the opportunity. I can't give you anything else. The opportunity for you to accept him as your Savior,
that where he is, there you may be also. And as the worship team comes in and they play this morning, and that thought keeps going in your mind over and over and over again, until you come to a place where you have accepted Jesus Christ as your own personal Savior, your life, like the NASDAQ, is on a downward spiral. There are things in this world that I absolutely adore. I love them. I embrace them, both in my mind and in my heart. But they are so temporary, gang. So temporary. If you're lucky, you get about a 72-year window on average. Compared to eternity, it doesn't even make the chart. And the things that you will do while you're here matter when you're there. Do not leave here today without giving your life over to Jesus Christ, that where he is, there you may be also. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you so much for your word. And more than that, Lord Jesus, thank you so much for the blood that you shed for our sins. Lord, thank you for being the God who would make himself human, Lord, and of no reputation, that you would come to this earth, that we would have the opportunity, Lord, to work out our salvation in fear and trembling. And Lord, this morning, as we reflect on the things that you've done for us, Father, I pray for those here this morning that have accepted you as their Savior, Lord. And as they go today, that they would remember, Father, the things that you did for their salvation, that they would work out daily in their own lives and in their own hearts, in their own minds, their salvation, Father, and what it meant for you to come for them. And Lord, we pray, Father, that before this day is over, that you would come in the clouds, Lord, and that we would be taken up, Lord, but we would be disappointed, Lord, for those that never took the chance to give their lives over to you, Lord. And as you wait, Lord, with a steady hand looking on this earth, there are still those that need to come, Father, to the cross, to the foot of the cross, that accept your blood, Father. And I pray this morning that if anyone is sitting here that still needs that, Father, that you would burn in their hearts right now that today is the acceptable day of salvation, Father. Don't let them sleep at night until that comes in their heart, Lord, in that place where they ask you in. And as you sit here this morning, if that's you, if you've never come to a place where you have offered your life as a sacrifice to him, he did it for you. If you're here this morning and you've never asked Christ into your heart, I'm giving you an opportunity, only an opportunity. I can't give you anything else. I'm going to give you the opportunity. It's very simple. You know the facts. They're embedded in your mind. And now your heart is at a place where it's open and where Jesus has come and said, I knock, I knock, I knock. All you need to do is reach out and open the door. If that's you this morning, you can have the gift of salvation in 30 seconds, an eternity spent with God as opposed to separated, by saying a simple prayer, a prayer of faith and a prayer of hope. If you desire that this morning, God knows deep in your heart what your desire is. You need to simply pray this prayer. Dear Jesus, I'm a sinner. I need your love. I need your salvation. I believe that you came and that you died for my sins. Come and live in my heart, Lord. change me. I want your salvation. And Lord, for those that are praying this morning in the quietness of this moment, I pray that, Lord, your hand would be on those decisions, Lord. And that you would work in their lives. And Father, for those of us that come this morning, may we have a refreshed hope in you. Lord, may we have a renewed understanding of our salvation. If you've prayed that prayer this morning and that's the desire of your heart to be saved, tell someone. On your way out this morning, find an usher, somebody on the worship team, and just say, hey, I gave my heart to Christ. We want to give you a Bible and some literature. Get you started on your Christian walk. Thank you again, Jesus, for your love. Go before us now, we pray.